For the first time in my life, I just surrendered to God's will, and I said, "Lord, you take the lead," you know. And lo and behold, you came along, and I was in awe.
Listen up, people. That's right. It's time to listen to the sparks of bliss in your life. I'm your host and life coach, Caroline de Posada from Miami, Florida. And this podcast is an invitation to join me in upgrading our mindset, wellness, and relationships so that together we create a life that unlocks our bliss. Join me each week as we explore practical strategies, inspiring stories, and the moments of clarity, or as we like to call them, los momenticos, that make the world a little more magical. Consider this your weekly dose of wisdom in your pocket. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, listener, welcome to episode number 82 of Blissen Up. As we gather on this sacred Sunday just before Thanksgiving, my heart is full of gratitude. And I want to take just a brief moment to thank you. Thank you for tuning into this podcast. Thank you for joining me each week as we celebrate the momenticos that teaches us about life and all its principles and all its magic. Today's episode is very special to me because I have been dying to share this story with you, a story of an incredible chance encounter that I experienced on an airplane. But then a friend of mine suggested that the true power of this moment would be most deeply felt if you could hear the story from both sides of the people who experienced it. That's why today I have invited my new friend, Carlos, a man whose life intersected with mine in an unexpected way, to join me in sharing our story. So today, if you're craving a little more faith in humanity or searching for something to be grateful for this Thanksgiving, I hope this story reminds you that grace can find you in the messiness, that strangers can become blessings, and that hope is often just one brave conversation away. So settle in and let's dive in to this momentico that changed our lives forever. Hi, Carlos. It's so good to see you.
Caroline, it's a pleasure to be here. I am so happy to be here and being part of this amazing thing that you do.
I am really excited about this conversation that you and I are going to have today, because I just know that what happened between us was such an act of synchronicity. There was such divine timing in our meeting, and what has led from it has been so important. And I believe strongly from the very first time that we met that there are going to be lessons here for all of the people that listen to this podcast. So I just want to thank you for being open to sharing this story with me and to being on here because we are going to serve people today. I know we are.
I agree. I'm excited.
Okay, so we met a couple of months ago in very odd circumstances, and I want to just jump right into the story. Tell my listener a little bit about where you were the day that we met, what was going on in your life, you know, because we met in an unusual place. We met on an airplane. So tell us a little bit about what was going on in your life and where you were the day that you and I connected for the very first time.
Okay, well, that day I will never forget. It was a very chaotic time for me. I had never dealt with a situation where I had really no sense of control. I lost all sense of hope at that moment. I was taking a flight, and last minute flight. I had gotten a call from my son that he had gotten in trouble and that he had been incarcerated. And my son at the time, you know, he's in school, and I just received this call in the middle of the night. I took the first plane out, and that's how I ended up being on that flight, not knowing what was happening. I thought, hey, this kid's in college, you know, he probably got into some silly issue, you know, drinking or whatever, or a traffic stop or whatnot. Never expected anything as insane as it was. While I was on that flight, as the flight was taking off, I did receive a call from a relative who's a lawyer, and he actually showed me exactly what the charges were, and they were very severe. They were very intense. I had no idea how my son could have gotten into anything like this. He's never been in trouble before, but it was a pretty bad offense that he committed. And
what I'm hearing, just to clarify, because for the people that don't know what's going on, was the charge appeared in that moment to be severe, because sometimes in the criminal world, there are charges that appear to be severe and really the facts are not as bad as the charge indicates. But in that moment, because you knew nothing about the law or about what was going on, all you knew was that there had been a charge and it was pretty bad. It looked bad. Right. But you didn't have any, you didn't know facts or anything like that.
No, I did not know the facts. And I honestly didn't expect this to be as serious as it was. And it was very serious. At the moment I got this, and I did get a message from my relative who is in the justice system. So he says, this is pretty bad. You need to get down there ASAP and you need to see what's happening.
If my memory serves me correctly, that was not the first, incident you had had that week. That week you had gone through some really difficult things. So your son, that phone call was kind of like the cherry on top for everything that had happened. Share with us a little bit about the other things that had happened that week. You know, I think this was like the third incident that happened all at once.
Yeah, actually, the entire year has been a journey this year. So many things have happened, from my health to car accidents, and like you said, the same day, my father had just gotten into a really severe car accident, ended up in the ICU with internal bleeding, and I had been at the hospital the entire day. I had gone home to shower, took a quick nap, and then ended up back at the hospital when I got this call. So yeah, there was a lot going on. My dad was not stable in the hospital. My son is in trouble in another state. I don't know exactly what's happening. You know, his mother was away overseas as well, traveling. So it was definitely a very trying time. And this is exactly when I got the message from the relative with the charge. And I just didn't know exactly what to do or how to deal with this. I was heading down to another state with no idea who I was going to ask for help or how to even approach this. I'm not even... I've never been in any legal issues or legal matters myself, so I didn't know how to approach this whole thing. So
from my perspective, I didn't know you, but I had gotten on that flight. I was coming home in that moment from a trip that I was with my family, and I was not supposed to be on that flight. That day, I was scheduled to fly out later in the afternoon, but my kids were dying to get home early because it was a Monday. They had the day off of school. They had to go back to school the next day, and they wanted to get home early and have the rest of their day. So I had found this early morning flight, but it was a connecting flight. And we were going to have to take two flights to be able to get home. And I told my family the night before, listen, we can go standby on this flight, but we're going to have to get on these two planes on standby, not miss, if there's any delays, we'll miss the layover. And if we don't get on these flights, we're going to end up having to take the later flight anyway. We're going to spend 6 more hours in the airport than we were supposed to. Are you willing to take this risk? And my kids said yes. My husband said yes. So by the time that I got onto the plane that you were on, that was my second flight. And we barely made it because our first flight was so delayed that I was running to that plane. They had already, because we were standby, they had printed our boarding passes. They had already thrown our boarding passes in the garbage. Oh. We were running to the flight, the last people to board. They're closing the doors. And I see the flight attendant. She says, oh, we just threw away your boarding passes. And I got them out of the garbage can so that I could... So I could give them to the flight attendant, and I run in. And of course, because we were last minute flyers, they separated us. So my husband was sitting all the way in the front. I was sitting all the way in the back. My kids were sitting in another area. And I was just sitting there by myself on this flight, grateful that we got on. And as the plane is taking off, I hear your voice. You were 2 rows behind me, and I hear your voice, and all I hear is, yeah, I think you said, yeah, I'm on my way. I'm going to do the best I can. Yes, he is in jail. It doesn't look good. I'm going to fix this. That's all I hear.
Oh.
And my husband happens to be a criminal defense attorney. And when I hear you say that, I grab my phone and I send a text to my husband. And I said, there's somebody on this plane who has somebody in trouble. And I knew it was your kid because of the despair in your voice. But I wasn't sure. But I said, I think they have a family member in trouble. Should I go talk to him? To be completely transparent with you, I thought my husband at that moment was going to say, I'm on vacation. I have to deal with this stuff every day. Let it be. Like, just leave it alone. But for whatever the reason, he said to me, let him know if he has any questions, I'll answer them. And I said, okay, thank you. So the plane is taking off and they put the seatbelt sign and I put my seatbelt on and I wait. With bated breath, I couldn't get to you fast enough. I wanted to jump over the seats and go talk to you because I just heard this despair in your voice, but I couldn't get up. So I waited like 20 minutes. I later learned that phone call was your ex-wife who was calling you from wherever she was, and you were updating her on the case of your son. So you make this call, and you hang up, you lose service. And you take off. From that moment until I came to talk to you, what was going on in your mind and your heart? What did you do in that moment?
Oof, that moment, and I remember it so vividly. And it was just very tough. And at that moment, I surrendered. I truly did. Always been, I believe in God and Jesus Christ, and and at that moment I'm someone who usually I pretty much have things lined up. I do things in order. I plan things out. This I had no answer for, and I just surrendered. I said, Lord, it's in your hands.
So you were praying?
Oh, I was praying. I had tears. I said I was scared. I didn't know what to do. I had just, I had my dad in the hospital. My son is God knows where. And at this moment, I just said, Lord, I trust. And I know you're going to put people in my path. And I left it at that. And as you said that, like when I was hanging up the phone with his mother, because his mother was overseas, she's screaming on the phone, crying. I'm like, listen, we're gonna do our best. This is there will be a way for this to get resolved, and we just gotta trust, And divine intervention.
Happened?
Listen, I still call you my angel. I'm gonna say that, as cliche or corny or whatever you may call it, I still say this. I feel like it, you know, you're a godsend. Because at the moment that I surrendered, I heard your voice. And my first thing was like, who is this person talking to me right now? And I look and I see, and then you start telling me about, you know, your husband, and that you're happy you happen to be on this flight, which, mind you, just to go back a little bit, I wasn't supposed to be on that flight either. I missed my previous flight and I ended up on this one because I had to drive to Philadelphia to get on this flight. And
I didn't know you missed your first flight.
I did, because when I got the call at midnight, I took off and I had to get somebody to drop me off. I didn't make that flight. So this was the next flight out, and I ended up booking this flight. So we were both not supposed to be on that flight, but we were.
But we were. So yes. So when the seatbelt sign comes off,
mm-hmm.
I get up. And at this point, I've had 20 minutes to think about this. Mm. And I'm thinking, maybe this isn't a good idea. Is it going to sound weird that I walk up to this man who I now have overheard his conversation, tap him on the shoulder and tell him, hey, I know that somebody in your life is in trouble and my husband is a criminal defense attorney, right? Like it felt a little weird to do that, and you're a complete stranger. But my calling to do that was so strong. It was so strong that I was working against myself. And my son, who was sitting across from me, heard you also. And when I got up, my son said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm going to go talk to the guy behind us. And he's like, why? And I said, because I think he's in trouble. And he's like, Mom, what are you doing? I said, I just need to talk to him.
Right.
So I walk over to you and I tap you on the shoulder, and you're like this.
Mm.
Yeah. And I tap you and you look up at me like I'm a crazy person, of course. And I said, sir, I overheard your conversation. I don't mean to eavesdrop or intrude, but it sounds like somebody in your life is in trouble. And you looked at me with these little eyes and you said, it's my son. And I just knew that it was, like, I knew it was somebody that it had to be your kid because of the way that you, just the way that you looked. It was like, I knew it had to be your kid. And you had a Marine Corps shirt on, and I was like, oh, this guy's a veteran. And it, you know, touched my heart. And I said to you, well, my husband is a criminal defense attorney, and I don't know if he can help you or not help you, but he's here on this flight. So if you have any questions, or we could support you in any way, would you want to talk to him? And you're looking at me in awe, like in shock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what you thought in that moment. Like, why is this woman talking to me? What made you in that moment not say, this is a complete stranger, leave me alone, mind your own business? I mean, what made you so open and receptive to me at that moment?
I feel like that was the first moment in my life that I truly, like, surrendered, just to, you know, to God's grace. And I had just said that. I was praying. I said, Lord, this is in your hands. I have no control. And I know that you're going to put the right people in my path to get this kid and take care of the situation. And I trust. And I did. I got that initially. And it was like that.
You know, it was immediate.
It was immediate. I was praying, and I surrendered. I truly, for the first time in my life, I just surrendered to God's will, and I said, Lord, you take the lead, you know. And lo and behold, you came along, and I was in awe. I couldn't believe it initially, because I was just like, I got emotional in the moment, and then you sat next to me and you started talking to me, and I kind of started sharing.
Well, wait. Before you share that part of the story, because this part is really crazy. When you said yes to me, that you were willing to talk to my husband was sitting all the way in the front. And again, it's been, by now it's been about 25 minutes since we took off.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband's sitting all the way in the front, and I said to you, do you want to talk to my husband? Because in my mind, you needed to talk to him, not me. And you said yes. So I run over to see my husband. And when I look at him, my husband is dead asleep.
I remember you saying that.
But here's what's interesting. My husband never sleeps on planes. His claim to fame is that he cannot sleep on a plane. He always says he's not comfortable. He doesn't fall asleep. But I get there and he is knocked out, dead asleep. Oh. So I'm looking at him. I'm like, do I wake him up? Do I not wake him up? It's a 2-hour flight. We had time, but I had this sense of urgency. I just wanted to support you in that moment. So I'm like, oh, I guess I'll have to wait. So I come back to you and I said, he's asleep, but I'm sure he'll wake up in a few minutes. And I go back to my chair. And then I get up like 10 minutes later, go see my husband still sleeping. And I come back to you and I said, my husband's still sleeping, but I'm sure he'll wake up in a minute. Carlos, the man slept the entire 2 hours, the whole flight. He slept the whole time, which is uncanny. First time, 19 years of marriage, never has this man slept for 2 hours on a flight. But on this day, he slept. Mm-hmm. So when one of the times that I get up and I see that he's still sleeping, the whole flight is pretty much full, except your row has two empty seats next to it. Mm-hmm. The only row in the whole airplane that has two empty seats next to it is your row. So, and I was in the window seat. So every time I had to get up to go check on my husband, I had to climb over people and then go check on my husband. So when I note after like the third time that I did it, I notice that you're sitting there with these two empty chairs. I say, do you mind if I sit next to you? Like a total psychopath.
No.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And you're like, sure.
Please.
So then I sit next to you. Mm-hmm. And what you didn't know at the time was that even though it was my husband that I wanted to talk to because he was a criminal defense attorney, I am a lawyer also, turned life coach. And even though I don't practice criminal defense law currently, I knew a little bit about it. So in that moment, you and I had the opportunity to just kind of go deep into what was going on in your life. And you shared with me, you know, you shared with me the screenshot. I was able to give you some insight as to what you could expect, what you might be looking at. And I want to say that that conversation brought you a lot of peace.
I sure did.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I mean the whole situation from getting the news from my son for the phone call when he was incarcerated to like getting on that plane, receiving that message from my family member, who's in the court system, and seeing that and seeing my son in that mugshot and with those charges, that I was just like, how did this happen? I had no idea what to expect. I thought the worst, the worst of the worst. And I was lost. So, but when you explained it to me, although still very worried and scared and not knowing what would happen, I was just happy to be connecting with someone who actually took the time and was kind enough to even talk to me to get me through that plane flight. Cause I lost all sense of time and just not knowing what would be next, you know, and that to me meant the world, you know. And there was a lot of there was a lot of variables that I didn't know. I didn't know if your husband would be like, well, I will help you, or I'm going to refer you to someone, or what to expect.
Yeah, but we hadn't even talked about that possibility.
No, but in that moment, all I can think of is that I had some sort of peace because I knew that I connected with someone who lived in the area, who is very knowledgeable in this arena. And I was just grateful to have that connection because I really didn't have anyone.
And then as we talked, it ended because my husband slept all 2 hours. All these things came to light. The story that I wasn't supposed to be on that flight came to light. Your what had happened to your father came to light. We really, you and I had pretty much a intense coaching session for an hour and a half. I mean, we went all in. And I learned that you had recently started studying Stoicism. I am a huge Stoic. And I gave you some literature that you could read. And I would say we probably had one of the most profound beautiful conversations that two humans could have. And here's what's fascinating to me, Carlos, because I thought about this a lot afterwards. And I kept asking one question, which was, why was my husband sleeping that whole time? Hmm. And of course, that could have just been a coincidence. But if you really want to know the truth, what I have thought since that happened was that the reason he was sleeping was because in those 2 hours, you didn't need a lawyer. You needed a coach.
So true.
You needed someone that was going to hold space for you and tell you, bigger picture, life is always rigged in your favor. You are in training for something bigger. This is, there is synchronicity here. You're protected. You're safe. Everything's going to be okay. Your son is going to be okay. This is not going to be the end of your son's life. You're going to get through this. And I knew that the more that we shared, the calmer you got. Do you want to talk a little bit about how that impacted you, that time that we had together?
Absolutely. You think coincidence, you think none of it. It was all destined to happen exactly how it panned out to be. And I just felt everything from just connecting with you, and not just the legal aspect of your background and your husband's background and how amazing he is at what he does. But the fact that you know Stoic philosophy and you follow it so closely, and I hold that very close, and I don't know much about it, but I do follow that every day. I do try to follow those principles, and you know, along with my spiritual aspect of being a Christian, and just for us to connect on that level was amazing, you know, and I felt like that was a piece that I desperately needed. And like you just said, it happened for a reason. Your husband was sleeping. I did not need a lawyer. I needed someone to just give me that time and just be as open and as wonderful as you were. And I am, like I said, forever indebted to you and for that. You know, like I told my family everything about that, and you know, everybody was just like, wow, like how in this moment, in this time, for those 2 hours on that flight, you know, I think about it, that how empty I was for those first 20, 30 minutes of getting on that flight, you know, the plane taking off. And then once you sat next to me and we spoke and we shared the piece that I received from that, there was a lot of unknown variables still pending. I didn't know what would happen, but I just knew right then and there that my prayers had been answered. I had someone, as the minute that I surrendered, this came to fruition, and I'm very fortunate and grateful for that.
And something I want to impart on our listener, you need to hear this, is Carlos was not the same man when he took off on that flight to the man he was when he landed, and none of his circumstances had changed. Your dad hadn't been cleared from the hospital. Your son hadn't been cleared from this legal issue. Nothing had been resolved. You had no answers. And yet you were a completely different person by the time that you landed. You were at peace. You were hopeful. I think more than at peace, you had hope. And hope is the number one thing that we need to hold on to when times are rough. It's hope that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that we're going to be okay, that this is not, this is that there's some saving grace here, and you had that hope.
I did, and I am grateful for that. And just to have that made the world of a difference. I just did not know where I would be when I got off that flight. All I know is that I was going to get in a cab or an Uber and try to get to the place where my son was and find out the details and try to get somebody to help me out. And I was all alone. I really couldn't, I couldn't tell my family. My family was dealing with the situation with my father at the time. You know, I was.
And you couldn't have talked to them anyway because you were on that flight.
Correct.
So
correct.
Then as soon as the plane starts to land, mm-hmm. you get a phone call, and it's your son's mom who went into action in that moment and went to resolve the problem. And all I hear you saying is, no, 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 everything's resolved. You're not going to believe it. My lawyer's on this plane, you said. You had not met Orlando yet. You hadn't even met him. And you said, my lawyer's on this plane. And then I guess she said to you, no, I hired a lawyer already and I've paid him. And you said, get your money back because my lawyer is on this plane. And in that moment, I felt a little bit nervous because I thought, oh my God, my husband is an expensive lawyer. What if he charges a lot of money and, you know, this guy thinks like we bamboozled him or something into like paying more money than he was supposed to, or you know, just because different lawyers have different prices, you know, and you didn't know what it was going to cost. You didn't. I'm like, what if he doesn't like my husband? Like, you just had this conviction. There was no question in your mind that you were going to work with Orlando. And at that moment, I got kind of nervous and I'm like, Carlos, we were going to help you for free. Like, you can go and hire the lawyer. You know, the flight was enough to help you. And you're like, absolutely not. I want to work with your husband. Why did you feel that deep conviction?
Oh, it was just, I had no doubts whatsoever. Just the immediate connection with you. The way that things happen, nothing's coincidental, you know, all these things that occurred, all the events, the connections that we had and what we shared. And I just knew it. I had that faith and I did. I'm, like I said, I'm spiritual in that way that I felt. And that's where God led me. And I would follow to the end. I didn't care about anything, no other factors, except that I knew that I would trust you and your family and your husband. And I had no reservations about it. And that's why I told her, no, we got this. This is the way it's supposed to be. God's going to lead us in the right way. He's already started. So we're going to keep following him.
And I ended up meeting your ex-wife, the mom of your son. And one of the things that she shared with me, because she wanted to meet me afterward, one of the things that she shared with me was that in that moment, she had to surrender to you, because obviously you two are not married. So there could have been a little bit of a power struggle or maybe an ego struggle, or I already paid this lawyer, I hired this person, and you're saying no. But what she told me was, when she heard that conviction in your voice, she knew she had to trust you, and she obeyed you. She got off the phone. She called the other lawyer. She said, I'm sorry, we can't work with you. And you guys just came together in that moment, and you became a team, and you were unstoppable, and you just had each other's backs.
Correct. And then, you know, she is my ex-wife and we do have two children together, and we have not always seen eye to eye. But in this moment and in this time, I there was no reservations, there was no conflict, there was no friction. We did come together. And as a family, we all came together during this time. It was a very troubling time. And it was just amazing. Even from that day in the airport until now. You know, that experience alone has like shifted us in many ways. The energies, any past resentments, any issues that we may have had when it comes to, you know, our kids or whatnot.
It's gone.
We all came together.
It's gone.
And it's...
So that's an important thing, because in that moment, something that seemed like a tragedy, like the worst thing that could have ever happened to your family, seems to have become the thing that brought you back to your family, that really connected you guys again on a deeper level. Would you say that that's true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This, what we experienced, it was destined to happen, as difficult as it was in the moment. It was something that was meant to happen so that our family can shift and grow closer together and come together in these moments. I felt like it's part of the journey. I feel like sometimes, like you said, sometimes we fall into that victim mentality, and you feel like, oh, why me? And this is such a terrible thing. And in thinking about this situation and experiencing it the way I did, as I felt like this was just like an epic moment in like my life. It shifted everything in my life. I could tell you, and my son as well, obviously, with everything that occurred, but our families in general. But with me, it just shifted my perspective on things, and just how the universe works, and how spirituality and belief and hope, like you said, the hope aspect of it is so amazing, you know, and it's powerful. It's powerful, yeah. And that it shifts our lives. And I, like, you helped me, and I always say this to my son, and I, you know, always help people do well. But now it's a purpose. It's a purpose. It's a purposeful thing that it is. You should seek to help people whenever they need it. If you see someone, whether it's a minimal thing or something major, like to me, this was like a very insane part of my life that I dealt with at that moment. And you came into it not needing to do this, going with your family, coming back from vacation, running on an airplane, trying to get your kids to school the next day, your husband tired, I'm working, I'm sure he's exhausted, but something in you called on you to serve and to help, you know. And you did help me and my family, and like I said, I will always be indebted to you guys. No, you know, I'm grateful, you know, grateful to God for this. And it's to me, to this day, it still gives me chills. Like, I still get goosebumps.
when the plane was landing and our phones came on, I got a text message from Orlando, who miraculously woke up, and he said, hey, I just woke up. And I said, I'm with this guy. It's his son. I kind of explained the situation. And in that moment, the way that I often say that the energy that it felt like at the beginning when we were on that plane was kind of like if you're in a restaurant and there's someone choking and you're like, does anybody have a doctor? Does anybody have a doctor? And then there's a doctor in the restaurant and they come and they give the Heimlich maneuver.
Yes.
In that moment, that's how I felt. It was like, does anybody have a lawyer? And Orlando was the lawyer. And I'm texting him and giving him the facts. And Orlando is like, he went into just fix this. I'm gonna fix this. And he started answering questions and he started asking me more questions and answering. And then he said, let everybody get off the plane. I'm gonna wait for him. Because we knew that your son was gonna be up, you know, in front of the judge at some point. And yeah. In that day, so he says, oh, he's going to be coming up. And like, we just kind of knew what was going on. He knew exactly what was going on. And I remember everybody got off the plane and my three boys were kind of waiting there. And Orlando was there. And you and I walk up. And when Orlando sees you, you two hug like if you've known each other forever. I mean, it made me emotional because you embraced and Orlando just said, I'm so sorry, but we're going to fix this. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
And you were just, and then he said, what are you doing now? And he says, well, you said, I was just going to get an Uber and go to the courthouse. I don't know where I'm going. And he said, no, you're going to come with me. Mm-hmm. And Orlando's day off became a day in the office because he ended up having to spend the next 5 or 6 hours with you at his office, which was a very intense moment. And then that day that you guys weren't able to resolve it, but the very next day they were able to resolve it. And from what I remember, Orlando kind of moved mountains, and the result that you guys had was unbelievable. And your son was set free, was released.
Yes.
And yes. You sent me this beautiful text message and you're like, praise the Lord. I knew he was the right lawyer.
I knew it. I knew it, and I knew this was like I said, this is a godsend, you know, your family, your husband, for you, you know, for you making that connection. I could tell you that moment when Orlando did his thing and made his magic happen, and he's so amazing at what he does, and he, God bless him, he's awesome and he's passionate, and for him to be kind as you were to just take this case on for me and just go roll with it and fight for my son and my family, means the world to me. And from the minute that I met you guys to the minute that I got the word from your husband in the courthouse, I could tell you right now, in tears, and I down on my knees and I said, thank you, Lord, in that courthouse, because he put the right people in my path.
Mm-hmm. So who are you today? Because this was resolved. The case was not what we thought it was going to be. Your son was not in his, ended up not being in big trouble. This did not carry on. Luckily, everything was resolved. All the charges were cleared. Everything was taken care of. It was a big misunderstanding. And things are fine. But you went through the moment. What would you say to my listeners that are going through a difficult moment in their life, that are in uncertainty, that are facing something that is scary? What would you say, being on this side of it, who you are today, and what advice would you give?
Just in a humble way, I just say, the hardest thing to do for most people, including myself on that day and in life in general, was just surrender. Surrender. And
what does surrender look like to you? What did that mean to you? What did it mean?
Surrender to me meant not trying to control the outcome, not falling into a victim mentality like I have done in the past. You know, why me? Is this occurring to me? You know, knowing and trusting that there is a higher source. There is a higher being, whatever religion or denomination you have, or whatever spiritual approach you have to life. Surrendering and in life right now for me is in essence, and I learned this from this moment on, because it was such a devastating time in my life that I had no control. For the first time in my life, I had no control, and all I could do was surrender and know that there is a bigger plan, and that, like Stoic philosophy says, embrace the moment, embrace the pain, embrace the suffering, because this is what builds us, you know, this is what makes us who we are, you know. And I felt that I was very fortunate, because it could have gone completely the other way, you know. It could not have panned out the way it did, and I'm very grateful for that. But either way, I feel like that is something that I feel it's very difficult. It's been difficult in my journey, is just to surrender and trust. And because we have a lot of paradigms that kind of mold us from a very young age and experiences that we have. So, but just knowing that there is a higher source, and that, you know, being in tune and trusting in that, it ultimately will guide you where you need to be.
That's beautiful. I'll tell you what it taught me. What it taught me was follow your intuition. My girlfriend Betsy always says, I will sin in all ways except by omission. And what she means by that is that she says, I may make a lot of mistakes, but I'm not going to make a mistake by staying quiet or not doing something that I feel called to do. And I do think in that moment when I was on that plane, I could have not gone up to you and talked to you, not because I didn't want to help you or support you, but because I was afraid that you might think badly of me. Maybe I thought you'd be afraid that I was going to, that, you know, you'd brush me off and say, like, why are you trying to get in my business? Who do you think you are? I even ran through my mind of like, is he going to think that I'm trying to, you know, get him to hire my husband, which wasn't the case at all. Like I wasn't trying to like land a client for my husband at that moment, you know, but I had that fear. Like I had all these little fears in my heart of what would he think? What would he think if I walk up to him boldly and offer help? And I think especially because we're in that, you know, I'm a coach and my husband's a lawyer. When you're in a service business, it's like, you're like, you're constantly in a position where you're selling your services or you're like being of service, and then you might feel like, is this person gonna think I'm selling my services?
Uh-huh.
Right? And I could have not gone up to you. I could have just said, no, I'm not gonna get involved. I'm not gonna make a fool out of myself in that moment. And what it taught me was, don't make that mistake, because that's all about you. That's ego. And yes, look at who you'd be hurting if you don't put your ego aside and be willing to be a fool and be willing to have somebody tell you mind your own business. Look at what you're missing. Because besides what happened with your son, and besides the great result that we got, and besides the fact that everything has worked out, we also have a forever friendship. We have a forever bond. Yeah. That we'll always have this bond, and we'll always have this story. And we would not have had it if I would have allowed that little voice in my head to say, no, 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 no. Don't trust your intuition. Don't trust that calling. So that's what I think I've learned from it the most.
Well, that's beautiful. I love that. And I feel the same way on my end. It was the trusting aspect of it, right? And following your spirit, right? To do the right thing. I feel like sometimes we hesitate because of, you know, fear of rejection or fear of failing or you know, or other reasons. But I feel that that's where I surrendered in my faith and knowing that things were going to be okay and in trusting. And I felt like it was a very transformational moment in my life. And I feel the same. And my son and I, and my daughter and I, and my family, and my, you know, my partner, we have this conversation, and we, you know, I'm in the medical field. I'm a nurse. And so is my partner. We're like, we're here to serve. There's a purpose. We have purpose to serve. Wow. It's not about making the money and doing all these things. Yeah, of course you need to pay bills and all that. But when you serve and you do things with a purpose, and you help people, I feel it's like they say, it's good juju, right? You help people mm-hmm. out, and it's not so that you can receive it, but that, you know, you're putting that good out there, and ultimately it's going to impact someone. And you might never know how much it impacts them. And I'm grateful we have connected, and this connection to me, I will forever be grateful, and will mm-hmm. forever be sharing this. You know, I would testify to this all day. Mm. Every day. And it still chokes me up a little bit. So it's amazing, and I'm grateful.
Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for answering all these questions. For you, listener, that maybe needed today to hear that good people exist in the world, that strangers are often put in each other's path for a reason that unbeknownst to you, that synchronicities have a beautiful way of showing up in the world, that there is hope, that there is divine timing, divine connections, and sparks of bliss that result from goodness and I don't know what else to say about that, but for you that needed to hear that, I hope this story inspires you. I hope it sheds some hope and some light in your world. And it reminds you that even if you're in a dark time, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and your circumstances can change, or your perspective can change, even when your circumstances have not. So thank you. And I will see you next week. Bye, Carlos.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Caroline. God bless. And thank you so much for taking the time to bringing me on this podcast. It's amazing. So thank you so much.
For today's episode, thanks so much for being here. I am deeply, deeply grateful for this time to connect. If you're loving this podcast, I'd love if you could support me by subscribing, rating, and or leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews help us so, so much. And if you know of someone who could really use a voice like mine in their head, please share this with them and let them know how much you care about their bliss. Now, if you are feeling called to dig deeper and really work on elevating your mindset, wellness, and your relationships to create a healthier, happier, and more meaningful life, then I invite you to schedule a 60-minute complimentary consultation with me. Let's have a meaningful conversation and see if working together is in our future. You can find the link to the calendar of consults right there in my show notes, but you can also connect with me on my website, carolinedeposada.com, or just send me a DM on Instagram, at carolinedeposada. Like my friend always says, the project is big and you're a part of it. So thanks for being here.